We were talking about unity, and we were talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, and how that they all got in one accord, and the Holy Spirit came and filled them. And I want to build on that and talk about praying in the Spirit tonight, and help us get a better understanding of what it means to pray in the Spirit, and what this precious gift God has given the New Testament church. In the Old Testament, they did not have this ability to pray in the Spirit like we have in the New Testament. This is a new gift that was added in the New Testament church, and it has a lot of implications to the believer, and I want to cover some of those tonight. How many knows the Bible exhorts us to pray in the Spirit? Yes. And this word, pray in the Spirit, God has showed me some things in the past year or so. I used to think some things, and I'm going to bring that out tonight, that I no longer think. I think, but I've added to it. How many knows we're living a progressive revelation in the Lord? Meaning that we are growing all the time. And as we grow, our understanding grows with the Word of God. And the Lord has showed me some things, and I want to try to bring those out in the beginning of this message tonight, and then get into the part of the traditional way we look at praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit holds a broad range of meanings, but we are encouraged as believers to pray in the Spirit. And here in Ephesians, I'm going to read you out of another translation other than the King James. I'll read you the King James, and then I'll read you the other translation, because it kind of broadens the meaning of it. In verse 18 through 19 of chapter 6 says this in the King James: praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, here in this version I'm reading you, I think it's the NIV, it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that's Paul speaking, that words may be given me. I want to open the meaning of this up to you before we get into some of the other parts of the message here. And that is, he says here, praying in the Spirit on all occasions. I want you to know it is appropriate to pray in the Spirit on any occasion. It is appropriate to pray in the Spirit on any occasion, and it is appropriate to pray in the Spirit in every situation you find yourself in. Here, as Pentecostal people, charismatic Pentecostal people, we believe that praying in the Spirit has a lot of implications, and we're going to bring some of those out tonight. But God has given us this ability for a reason. How many knows that sometimes when people are praying in the unknown language, it sounds a little strange? And God's not necessarily interested in us making fools out of ourselves. How many knows what I'm talking about? Sometimes when people pray in the Spirit, you think, what on earth are they saying? That sounds kind of out there. But see, there's implications of why we pray in the Spirit. And God's saying it's appropriate to pray in the Spirit on all occasions and for every situation that you find yourself in. Now, praying in the Spirit is not only praying in tongues, although I'm going to bring that out here in just a minute. Praying in the Spirit is something more than just praying in tongues. I used to think, I used to believe, and I was taught this, that praying in the Spirit is only praying in an unknown language. That's not Bible. That's not Bible. God has opened my understanding to this. I used to think, and my old pastor used to teach, that he thought that it meant praying, you just prayed a little louder. That meant praying in the Spirit. But that's not what he's saying. How many knows that you can pray in a normal language, what I'm talking about is normal English, and still pray in the Spirit? Listen to what he says. He says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and request. He didn't say pray in tongues. Now, what I'm telling you tonight is you can pray in the Spirit. And last Wednesday night, we had a great service. How many remembers last Wednesday night? And when I got up here to pray, before we opened the service, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me. And I was praying in the Spirit, but I was praying in natural language. But it was Holy Spirit inspired. Are you listening? Now, sometimes when we pray with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, even though it is in a normal language. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. Sometimes when you're praying, the Holy Spirit will give you inspiration to pray in a known language so you know what you're praying for. Amen? There's a scripture that says that we will pray with the Spirit and pray with our understanding also. So God's saying that we can pray both ways. We can be inspired by the Holy Spirit to pray in what we call, because we all speak, you may speak in other languages, but I speak broken English and Missouri English. And we can pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer, and it doesn't necessarily have to be in tongues. Now, I'm not saying, please don't misunderstand me, I'm not saying that we don't pray in tongues, because we do. But what I am saying is God is broadening our thinking, saying that you can pray by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. How many has ever prayed, been praying for somebody, and you get this deep, 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 deep down inside of you feeling to pray for somebody, and all of a sudden God gives you understanding, a revelation about their situation. You begin to pray in the natural language, what I mean is normal English language, things about a person's life that you really didn't know, but it was revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. So I'm saying we can pray in the natural, in English, inspired by the Holy Spirit. That is one way of praying, and God wants us to be able to pray that way. Praying in the Spirit also simply can be praying in a state of mind where you shut out the cares and thoughts of the world and the flesh and truly have your focus and your soul and your spirit on the Lord and the things of the Lord. That's what I'm saying. You can pray in natural language, but be in the Spirit. How many knows in Revelations, and I'll share this later on in the message, it says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. How many remembers that scripture? You can be in the Spirit without praying in the Spirit. Come on now. This is not something that's out there. This is Bible. We can pray in the Spirit without praying in what we call the heavenly language. We do pray in the heavenly language, but we also can pray in a natural English language and still be in the Spirit. We can be under the divine guidance of the Holy Spirit's anointing and still be consciously praying in a natural language, praying by the unction of the Holy Spirit. It happens all the time. I'm in my prayer closet. I'm praying, and then inspiration comes from heaven, and all of a sudden my praying takes on a new dimension. I begin to pray in my normal language. Brother and Sister Miller, we were over at their house here probably 3 weeks ago. We all were praying, as we do sometimes when we visit with them, and we take turns praying. And I was last. And I prayed silently while they were praying, and they were inspired by the Lord. But the Lord came upon me to pray in a way that I normally don't pray. It was inspired prayer by the Holy Spirit, unctioned by the Holy Spirit. I began to pray things that I had not intended to pray, but prayed by the unction of the Holy Spirit about things about this church, about the church in general, about the body of Christ, and about our need to walk in repentance towards the Lord, our need to really be real with the Lord, our need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God so we can see the move of God in our generation. I had not intended to pray that, but the Holy Spirit came upon me. How many knows sometimes we pray the heart of God out because we're making intercession for the saints according to the Spirit of God? And sometimes it's in a normal language. So I'm telling you, it's not necessarily that we always have to be praying in the Holy Spirit. What I mean is praying in tongues in order to be praying in the Spirit. We can pray under the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit in a normal language, and it still be God's prayer and not just yours. And it says, with all kinds of prayers and requests. And it says, praying for all the saints in verse 18. Praying for specific persons. Sometimes God inspires us to pray for specific people. And then it says, Paul says, pray that words may be given. Praying for specific needs. We pray for each other along those lines. Sometimes it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8. Now, we're going to turn the table a little bit, and we're going to get into praying by the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 27. I want to show you something else here that it's interpreted two ways, but I want to show you the both ways that it's interpreted so you have a better understanding when you pray. How many knows God does not want us to be ignorant? And when I mean ignorant, that doesn't mean we're dumb or retarded. It means we lack understanding. God wants us to understand what we're doing. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 27. One thing I want people to understand as Spirit-filled people, and sometimes this is what has been thought about the Spirit-filled church, that you check out your brain when you come in the door. That's not Bible. God gave us a brain, didn't He? For a purpose, for a reason. He wants us to have proper understanding. He wants us to understand the Word. Here in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, I'm reading out of the King James, says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, and I don't like it, says itself. The Holy Spirit's not a it. It is a Himself. Maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, in this other version I have, it says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans and words that cannot be expressed. The Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with the will of God, or God's will. If we're truly in the Spirit, then the Holy Spirit can bear our prayers before God under His inspiration. Now, this says that He prays for words that cannot be uttered or expressed. And in one, in the Greek, it brings it out as cannot be expressed in normal language or articulated in normal language. God sometimes prays through us in another language to pray out God's will for the saints, for our lives, for our churches, for our relatives, for our communities, in an unknown language. Sometimes He says, with groanings that cannot be uttered. Now, I was in a church one time, and I've never done this before, but in that service, it was one of the Church of God men, I think, from Cuba, Mark Smith, laid hands on me, I believe it was, and I had heard about this, but I never experienced it. Somebody tell them, come to church. Anyways, it's taken care of. Anyways, as He laid hands on me, the Holy Spirit came upon me. And how many knows, y'all know me well enough, I'm very conservative. I don't get out there too far. If I do a little shuffle like this in church, I'm out in the Spirit. Are you with me? That's about as deep as I go, knee deep. And anyways, that night He laid hands on me. And when He laid hands on me, I hit the floor. And I don't do that very often. But a spirit of groaning came upon me. And this scripture began to open up to me. I groaned in the floor, and I thank God that they had enough presence of mind to cover me up and throw me over in a corner somewhere. I laid in the floor, and I think Brother Miller and him that was there for a while, was there that night, and I laid in the floor for a good long time, groaning, wailing, not speaking in tongues, groaning in the Spirit. You say, well, that ain't saying nothing. If God is part of it, you're saying a lot in a short period of time. And I groaned for quite some time there in the floor, wailing deep down in my spirit. I felt this. And I was interceding for something. And God knows what. Because later on in the service, the man prophesied to me and told me what I was groaning about. I didn't know, but I know this. We have to trust God that when we are being used by the Holy Spirit, that He prays through us, that it says that He's praying out or praying in accordance or in line with the will of God or according to God's will. And it says He's praying that His will be done in the earth. We are yielding ourselves to the Lord, letting Him use us to pray out His will in the earth. How many knows that when you live in earth, in the earth, you have to have a body to be a participant in the earth? And in the earth, we have authority because we have a body. And God has... There was one preacher that said, God does very little outside of someone praying first. His will be done in the earth. And when we yield our members to the Lord, our tongue, our body, as a living sacrifice, God prays His will through us. That night I prayed with groanings which could not be uttered. Now, this does mean also we pray in the Holy Spirit with what we call tongues, or the Pentecostal movement calls tongues, or the Bible calls tongues. And that is in a language that is beyond our normal language. I listen to, and how many's ever listened to other people pray in tongues? They all have a different, distinct dialect when they pray. And some, if you'll listen, some, and it's been proven that some are in languages that are known in other countries. You may be praying in a dialect that's in another country. Well, I never heard, I know how I sound when I pray in the Spirit. And I heard a Russian man speaking in a meeting I was in. And I began to say, hey, he sounds a lot like I do when I speak in tongues. Maybe I'm speaking in Russian. I don't know. But what I'm saying is that the Lord will use us to pray in tongues, to pray out His will in the earth. So we want to yield ourselves to the Lord in this capacity so that God can pray out His will in the earth. How many knows God wants His will to be done in the earth? And a specifically biblical type of prayer in the Spirit is praying in tongues. And it is scripturally endorsed. In 1 Corinthians 14:2, it says, He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not to men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, however or howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. I want to dissect that scripture for you. In 1 Corinthians 14:2, it says that we speak in an unknown tongue. And what that means is it's not known to us. Now, there's been meetings where people has got up, and I imagine some of you ministers in here have heard stories of this, where they have meetings and someone would get up and give a message in tongues, and it would be an international meeting, and someone from another country would understand what they're saying. And they might even be telling the story of Jesus. Heard about some Jews that got saved because during the message of tongues, they were speaking in a Hebrew language that these folks understood. And they heard the story of the Gospels, and that caused them to believe and get saved. But in here it says, in this scripture, it's talking specifically about praying in the Spirit. And it says that we speak in an unknown tongue, meaning it's not known to us. And we're not speaking unto men, but look what it says. But unto God, for no man understandeth him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Speaking to God. It is a divine appointment between you and the Lord. This is what makes it holy. This is what makes it special. Did you know God is interested in having fellowship time with each and every one of us? Somehow we come into church and we think we see the ministers and those who are spiritual, or we consider to be spiritual, and we say God is interested in spending time with them because they have something to say. But here it says we're not speaking unto men, we're speaking unto God, and it is a divine appointment between us, or you and God, and God wants to have that time of fellowship with you, that time of prayer time with you. And it says you're speaking mysteries. Speaking in tongues is speaking in the Spirit. Now, look what it says in 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What benefit comes from praying in the Spirit or praying in the tongues? Well, back to 14:2, For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue in the Spirit, he speaketh mysteries. Now, I want you to understand what these mysteries are. The word mystery there means it's not known to you what you're speaking. But I want you to understand it goes back to Romans 8:27. You are speaking out God's will. It's a mystery in the sense that your understanding is unfruitful. But you are praying God's will out, maybe for your own life, maybe for your family's life, maybe for some of your church members' life, maybe for the will of God to be done, revival to happen in our area. It is a mystery to your mind, but it's not a mystery that God wants to do His will in the earth, and we're praying out God's will in the earth. And that's what God's up to. And that's why God wants us to yield our tongue. You know, one of the best ways, in James it says the tongue is a member that is unruly. One of the best ways to bring your tongue under subjection is yield it to the Holy Spirit. Now, I understand that the Holy Spirit is the author of the praying in tongues. But I've said this on many occasions, and I think I can back it up with the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit is more interested in praying than we are. I've heard people say, well, I never pray in tongues because I don't feel the unction. Well, Paul said, I thank God I pray in tongues more than you all. Did Paul just feel the unction more than everybody else? Or did Paul just yield himself more than everybody else? The Lord's looking for yielded vessels. And He's looking for those that will let Him pray His will out in the earth. How many knows God has a will for the earth? How many knows what that will is? To see as many saved as can be saved before that great notable day that Jesus Christ comes and He closes up this thing here on the earth. Although we're praying out mysteries, it's not a mystery to God. We're praying in accordance to God's will. I want to show you something back to Romans 8:28 that we preachers are guilty of quoting all the time without really quoting it in context of what the Scripture says. I've done it, and I don't think that we're really out of bounds by doing it, but we're really not taking it in context when we quote it this way. This is a very well-known Scripture, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Preachers, have you quoted that before? Every one of us have. Now listen, if we take it in context, we have to take it with verse 26 and 27 first. How many's ever seen Christians' lives not work out for the good? Be honest with me tonight. We've all seen that happen. I think a lot of the reason is we don't do verse 26 and verse 27. Or, listen to this, someone else who could be praying in the Spirit for us failed to yield themselves to the Holy Spirit and didn't pray out the will of God to cause God's will to work out in our life and all things to work together for good. Now listen very carefully. I know this from a fact as being a pastor. It don't always work out good in people's life. And I believe one of the reasons is we're not yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit enough to let Him pray out His will. He says here in verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses or infirmities. For we don't know how we should pray as we ought. Meaning that we probably pray selfish prayers most of the time. Or we don't see the big picture. How many knows what I'm talking about? How many believes God sees everything? How many believes God knows the future? How many believes that He sees tomorrow in advance? He sees if you're going to have a job next week. Is that right? He sees if you're going to walk into work and they're going to say, Stan, we no longer need your services. Thank you for that faithful service that you gave us, but we're closing down. He sees that. Now listen, if He sees that and we say in verse 28, He wants to work everything out to our good, well, that don't look good, does it? But if we will yield ourselves to the Spirit, but the Spirit Himself makes intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be uttered, and He that searcheth the heart, our hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit. In other words, when we pray in the Holy Spirit, we're searching the heart of God, and we pick up on the mind of the Spirit of God for the will of God for people. If the church people would grasp this and get a hold of this and begin to yield themselves in prayer, how much more could God do unhindered? Now listen, church, let's not get real religious tonight. Because sometimes we think, well, God is all powerful and God can do everything He wants to, when He wants to, and how He wants to. Part of that's true, but part of it's not true. because the Old Testament clearly tells us that God was hindered by the unbelief of the Israelites and could not do His will. His will was to take the whole generation into the promised land. Is that correct? But He couldn't. So we limit God. The Bible says they limited the Holy One of Israel. I want to tell you something. The devil's not God's problem. Our will is. Our yieldedness to the Lord is His problem. Because sometimes we're not willing to bend or yield to the Lord. How many knows that sometimes instead of praying, what we do is we get a bad attitude? I know that's never happened to none of you, because you're some of the most holy people I ever come across. But sometimes we get a bad attitude instead of praying, instead of bending to the will of God, instead of yielding our tongue to the Lord to pray and pray out the will of God so that all things could work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called to His, according to His purposes. We yield our tongue to who? The wrong person. And we actually, because James says, listen carefully, James says, now this isn't a scolding, this is a teaching. So don't take this all too personal, because I know none of you do this. We yield our tongue, in James it says, to the enemy. And the Bible says a little kindling starts a big fire, doesn't it? And when we yield our tongue to the enemy instead of yielding it to God, nothing works out good. We end up having church splits. We end up having all kinds of bad things happen in our setting when God's will is not being done. How many knows God's not into splitting churches? We end up letting the enemy have his will in the earth because we yield our tongue to the wrong entity. And God said if we'll yield it to Him, He can work with it. He can cause, massage the situation to work out. What seemingly is bad, Stan, I know that's bad news when you got that word, brother. And I'm not making light of it, please. That would be hard to take. But if we'll yield our tongue to the Lord, yield our heart to the Lord, yield our spirit to the Lord, and let the Lord pray, He'll take what seemingly is bad, just like He did in Joseph's lives, just like He did in Joseph and Mary, the mother of Jesus' life, when the king wanted to kill him. God already had a plan. Are you listening? But we have to yield ourselves to the Lord. Sometimes we hinder the Lord from working in our life. And then we get mad at God. We get offended at God. And God's saying, I'm doing everything I can from heaven to get you to cooperate with me, but you won't give me the time of day to pray. I'm not beating us up, because I've been guilty of this myself, and I wonder why things don't turn out as good as I'd like them to. And then when I finally get quiet and get over my attitude, the Lord, how many knows the Holy Spirit will let you throw your little tantrum, and then He'll talk to you and He'll try to reason with you. There's a scripture in the Old Testament that said, come, let us reason together that you may be justified. The Lord will reason with us, convict us. And then we begin to yield to His will. But I'm telling you, if we will cooperate with the Lord could do so much more in our lives, so much more in our churches, so much more in our communities, if we would yield ourselves to the Lord. And we would pray out the will of God, and God could have His way in the earth, and all things could start to work together in good. It is not God's will that blood-bought children of God, covenant children of God, not experience the grace of God in this life. But we have to cooperate with the Lord. So though it may be a mystery to us, I just unraveled the mystery for you. That if we'll pray with the Lord, pray with our tongue, yield our tongue to the Lord under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, praying in groanings or in a language that is not known to us, one thing, we're praying directly to God. And how many knows, God sees, God understands, and God has a plan. If we'll do that, then God can make things work together for good. Praying in the Spirit also does this for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4, it says, he that speaketh or prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. How many needs edified? How many needs built up? All of us do. How many knows the world sometimes a hard place to live? Sometimes it's just a sin-cursed world that we live in. And even though we have the joy of the Lord, there's things in this life that can just pop your balloon and take that joy right out of you. And God has made a way that when we yield ourselves, let me give you the flip side of the coin. When you yield yourself to the enemy and you let him use your tongue to set a fire and cause a big blow up in your family, in your life, in your church, in your relationships with others, do you feel edified? No, you don't. You feel terrible. But when we yield ourselves to the Lord and we pray out His will and we begin to pray in this unknown language, as it says here, it says we get, not only does God's will happen in our life, but we get edified by doing it. There's two reasons that happens. One is, the Bible says, there's fullness of joy in the presence of the Lord. When we spend time with the Lord, joy overflows into our life. The other reason is, it is so gratifying when we're obedient to the Lord. Nothing makes you feel better to know you're doing the will of God. You feel, it's just like when you've worked hard at the end of the day and you've got something accomplished, you feel gratified, you feel good about it. Well, when you're living for the Lord with your whole heart and you're yielding your members to the Lord and you yield your tongue to the Lord and you pray, it causes, and that word edified, if you look it up in the Greek, says charged up. It charges you up. It builds you up in your spirit, man. And yes, things may be bad in your life. Yes, your church might not be doing the greatest. And brother and sister, we've had our share of problems here, haven't we? We've had our ups and downs. Sometimes it's like a roller coaster. But in the midst of the down, you can still be up. It can be bad on the outside, but you still can be having joy on the inside. And see, that's what God wants with His people. He wants us to be stable. He wants us to be joyful. He wants us to be edified, built up. In Jude, it says it this way. In Jude chapter 1, praise God, that's all there is. Verse 20, it says, "But ye, beloved," talking to us, "building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Now, I want to read one more verse to put with that so I can bring to light something else. "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." If we take verse 20 and it says that when we pray, we build ourselves up on our most holy faith. Did you know faith, we know faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. But also faith is birthed out of relationship. Trust is faith. Faith is birthed out of relationship with the Lord. When we spend time with the Lord, guess what happens? A bond happens. Trust happens. It builds us up on our trust and our faith and our confidence in the Lord. And then he says it keeps us in the love of God. How many knows we need to stay in the love of God tonight? That the world is a bad, bad place to live sometimes. And there's a scripture in Matthew says, in the last days, the love of many shall grow cold. Why? Because they're not keeping themselves in the love of God. Nothing disturbs a minister or pastor more than to see somebody quit going to church and no longer serving the Lord. Nothing. And what happened? They stopped doing what was right. They stopped praying. They stopped spending time with the Lord and yielding themselves to the Lord. And when we stop doing God's will, guess what? By default, we start doing our flesh. And it never brings about the righteousness of God. We keep ourselves in the love of God by praying in the Spirit. We stay edified. We stay built up on our most holy faith. And this is what keeps us strong as believers. How many knows that the Lord knew what He was doing by giving this gift to the New Testament church? It is for a purpose. God has reasons for this. Praying in the Spirit is an opportunity also to set our typically dominant intellect focus aside and pray to God from deep within at a spirit-to-spirit level. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit, it says itself, but it should say Himself, beareth witness with our spirit. When we pray on that level, it is spirit to spirit. God is connecting with our spirits. Because it says that we're praying and our understanding is unfruitful. But our spirit man is not. Our spirit man's the one that's getting edified. How many knows the Christian life is to be led of the Spirit? To be dominated by the Holy Spirit. That is the whole life of the Christian. Is to let the Holy yield ourselves to the Spirit of God and let Him have His way in our lives. Be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And when we pray, we're praying on the deepest level, deepest communion that we can have between God and man occurs when we pray spirit to spirit on that level. Our spirit is in intimate contact with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, 1 Corinthians, while we're there, chapter 14, verse 15 says, what is it then? I will pray in the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing in the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. I want you to understand this. Also, another level of praying in the Spirit is singing in the Spirit. And some people have that gift, and there's some here in this church. Sister Edith can do that. And it sounds beautiful when she does it. I can't do that because I can't carry a tune in a bucket. But I believe when you're inspired by the Holy Spirit, you can pray in a level singing in the Spirit. And it brings glory to God. And it also brings out the will of God. Sometimes if Sister Edith prays a message in tongues, she sings the message in tongues, the interpretation. So it says here that we pray in the Spirit, we sing in the Spirit, but we also sing with the understanding also. These are various levels of how God speaks to us and uses us and lets us pray through the Holy Spirit. We can have both a balanced prayer life, utilizing both our intellect, that means our known, and our spirit, where we are yielding directly to God and letting Him pray or have His way or will through us. Now, I said this in the beginning of the service. We do not check out our brains when we become Christians. This is not what God wants us. He wants us to have understanding. And He wants us to have understanding so we can cooperate with Him. We can have a balanced prayer life, utilizing both. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians, the next verse, chapter 14, verse 16, 17, King James says, else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified or doesn't understand. When we pray in tongues, you may be blessing and thanking the Lord well, but the people around you may not know a word you're saying. God wants us to have both. He wants you to pray with the Spirit and pray with the understanding also. Are you getting this tonight? Let me close with a couple of comments here about in the Spirit. In closing, I want to comment briefly on a few verses out of the book of Revelations that I pulled out to show you, because sometimes we lack understanding about what it means to be in the Spirit. And sometimes in our circles, we think the only time you're in the Spirit is when you're praying in the Spirit. And that's not Bible. That's not Bible. That's not what the Bible says. Now that is, we are in the Spirit when we're praying in the Spirit, but that's not the only time we're in the Spirit. Hopefully, you're living your life in such a way that you're living in the Spirit every day. Because the Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Doesn't it? So we're yielding to it. Now listen to Revelations 1:10. These are what I call general benefits of walking in the Spirit of God. I want to show you some other things that is beneficial from just walking in the Spirit. John said, Apostle John, Revelations 1:10, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. Here's what I want you to see. When we are in the Spirit, you're better able to hear the voice of the Lord than you would if you're in the flesh. Now, I know no minister here has ever had a service where right before the service you were getting up to speak or praise and worship happens and someone blasts you with both barrels and you get right out of the Spirit real quick. You have feelings. Your flesh starts to take over. And I know from experience, and those that's been used by the Lord in this capacity, in a service where the Lord's directing you, if I'm prayed up and I'm yielded to the Holy Spirit and I'm worshiping the Lord, I'm in tune to what He's saying because I'm in the Spirit. I can hear Him very clearly. But if I let my flesh begin to take over, now I'm warring because the Bible said the Spirit and the flesh war against one another. Someone just blasted me before the service started, and that never happens here in this church, by the way. This was the other church I'm talking about, okay? Or they dump a dump truck load of cares and things on you, burdens, just before you take the pulpit, or just before the song service starts, and the Lord may have had something for someone. Matter of fact, that person that had the boatload of care, the Lord may have had a word for that person of encouragement that yet you can't hear it because you're wrestling in your flesh. You're not in the Spirit. If we spend our lives living in the Spirit, you're more able to hear the Lord when He speaks clearly. And how many knows the Lord's got a voice? How many knows He wants to speak to you? It's just not the prophets and the priests that God's speaking to. He's speaking to everyday people every day. All of us. He's wanting to talk to us. And if we're in the Spirit on the Lord's day, He says, I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. How many knows the New Testament says, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger's voice they will not follow? Well, we get attuned to the Lord's voice. So when we're in the Spirit, we're better able to hear the voice of the Lord. Then in Revelations 4 and 2, this is John again, saying, at once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven and someone sitting on it. In the Spirit, you can get a clear revelation of God. Did you know the Bible says they that worship Him must worship Him in what? Spirit and in truth. If we're going to have a clear understanding and revelation of God, we got to do it by the Spirit. Because they that worship Him must do it in spirit. He is a spirit. And we have to worship Him in spirit. We are a spirit. We live in a body, but we are a spirit. And we relate to God in the Spirit. In the Spirit, we can get a clear revelation of God. Then in Revelation 17:3, then the angel carried me away in the Spirit into a desert. And there I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast. In the Spirit, you're more sensitive to God's revelations of evil spirits, false religions, and the work of Satan. When I'm walking in the Spirit, and I do every day, I'm not going to tell you sometimes I don't get in the flesh because I would be lying to you. I'm human. There's a potential for every one of us to get into the flesh. And when you're walking in the Spirit, you clearly can see the traps of the enemy set before you. Someone's trying to provoke you to anger or something. And you know, if you're walking in the Spirit, you see it before it ever unfolds. And you know how to react to it because the Holy Spirit's talking to you, telling you what to do, giving direction in your heart. You say, does He always have a voice? The Lord has a voice, but I'm talking about guidance by our spirit. Somehow God unfolds the mysteries in our spirit, and we just know without hearing an audible voice. God unfolds the mystery right in front of you. So I'm telling you, when we walk in the Spirit, there's so many blessings to it. When we pray in the Spirit, there's so many blessings to it. Why don't we yield ourselves more to the Lord? Why don't we give ourselves over to prayer in the Spirit? We are Pentecostals, aren't we? We believe in speaking in tongues, don't we? We believe in praying in the Spirit. One of the things that the church has lost, I'm afraid, in this new day church is we're word-minded, but we have walked away from the Spirit. And how many knows it is the Spirit of God that has the anointing? It is the Spirit of God that destroys the yokes. It is the Spirit of God that heals. It is the Spirit of God that delivers. Jesus said it was the Spirit of God that was upon Him. We got to have the Spirit of God in our lives. And the only way we get it is by yielding to it. Bow your heads with me. Father, thank You tonight for the Word. Thank You, Lord, for the Spirit of the living God. God, I pray tonight for everyone in here. I know they're hungry hearts, so they wouldn't be here tonight, Lord. I pray in the coming days, Lord, that you reveal yourself to each and every one of us in a greater way, Lord. Lord, I pray that we learn to yield our tongues to you on a daily basis, Lord. And that, Lord, we can begin to see the benefits of praying in the Spirit, the benefits of walking in the Spirit, the benefits of yielding our lives to you, Lord. I pray that each and every one of us in here does that, Lord. And we don't yield to the flesh, Lord. We yield to the Holy Spirit in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Before we close tonight, does anybody...